Okay. Today I'm going to be preaching on, the title of my message is called Being Real, The Value of Authenticity. Now, at this point in time, I was going to be putting on a mask. It was crazy, ugly mask, Halloween-like, you know. And so just imagine that I have this mask on. I kind of got an ugly face in the first place, but imagine that it's there, okay? Howard Hendricks once said, "Great impressions can be made from a distance, but really can only be tested up close." You can see somebody from far off and say, "That's a good person." But it's only till you rub shoulders with them that you're going to really get any idea of what they're like. Henry Hayne also said, "Be who you is. Because if you ain't who you is, then you is who you ain't." You guys get that? What is authenticity? You know, we run into the word, we talk about authentic autographs. I mean, for me to get an authentic autograph from like some sports guy, I'd be like, "I was there, he signed it, it was cool, it's authentic, trust me." You know? Or like finding an authentic piece of art, you know, a real Leonardo da Vinci. But what is authenticity in our lives? Webster's Dictionary says, it's not false or an imitation. So, while I got this mask on, you guys would be saying, "Well, what are you guys talking about? You got a mask on." Well, that's part of the idea. The other definition, it says, true to one's personality or character. That's what actual authenticity is. Authenticity is being real, not fake. Okay? So, now, you know, I would be taking the mask off of this side and throwing it away type thing, okay? But the mask is a good picture, though. According to Webster's Dictionary, it's being authentic. It's not being false. It's being true to yourself, being true to who you are. If I'm wearing a mask, though, what am I being? I'm being fake, okay? I'm being an actor or an impersonator, a hypocrite. The actual word hypocrite is a Greek word that comes from hypokritos, which was actually used for people that in Greek times would come up and dance, and they would have that big happy face on, and they'd have that mask on, and they'd be like, and cool, you know? And then they'd go change their mask, and it would be the big frown. You wouldn't know. It's the same person, but they're doing two different things. Okay? That's what a hypocrite is in the actual Greek text, okay? Now, granted, none of us are wearing masks, okay? But how many of us wear masks that we can't see? How many of us come to church talking the Christian talk, but inside we're experiencing hurt and struggles beyond personal belief? Somebody comes up to you and says, "Hey, how you doing?" And you look them right in the eye, you say, "I'm doing just fine." That's not being real, that's being fake. I mean, yeah, it's good to be cordial and everything, but what about being real? We're Christians. We're called to be real, okay? We put on our mask and we lose all our authenticity and realness about us. We all put these masks on, okay? Today we're going to talk about being real and how both me and you and the body of Christ can benefit from authenticity. Why don't you open up your Bibles? Sorry, I don't got any PowerPoint thing. If you need a Bible, there's some Bibles on the side. Why don't you open up your Bible to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 22 through 32. It says, "You are taught with regard to your former life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in the true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his hands that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any of us let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, with whom you were asked for, whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to each other, forgiving each other just as Christ has forgiven you. How can we break this down? Well, I'm going to break this down for you a little bit, because there's a huge piece of meat. And I want to give you a little bite-sized niblet so we can hopefully break down and kind of digest a little bit. So the first question is, why should we be authentic? Why does this even matter? Okay. My first point is because if we are not authentic, we're hypocrites. I mean, there's no walking the fence here. You're either on the authentic side or you're the hypocrite side. There's no walking the fence, okay? God hates hypocrisy. You remember when he went into the temple and there was people selling stuff in the temple, okay? And I was talking to Tyrone about this at Los Amigos, and he kind of gave me a cool idea behind it. On the day he went in there and was like, this ain't good. I can't have this, right? And then, as he didn't have no whip in his back pocket, okay? He sat down, and as he was watching it, he made the whip. He pulled it together. We're going to have to talk, guys. Promise. You know, it was something that he saw and that he had to deal with, the hypocrisy that was going on in the temple. And so when Jesus goes in, he overturns the temple. And he says, you've turned my temple into a den of thieves. What was the temple for? It wasn't being used authentically. These people were not being authentic, okay? Do you remember when he called the Pharisees whitewashed sepulchers? How many of you know what a whitewashed sepulcher is? Okay? A whitewashed sepulcher is on the outside, it's this beautiful piece of artwork. And then on the inside is dead bones. It's a coffin. Coffins look really great. But what's inside? Dead. Nothing live. Nothing real. it might be real. It's just dead. So, and you remember the passage where, and we're going to go to this a little bit later, where it talks about, hey, you know, when you're trying to pluck somebody's little speck out of somebody's eye, you need to check yourself and check the plank that's in your eye, okay? Get the picture when he's talking about this. He's saying, you got a speck, like a little piece of dirt or sand in your eye. And the guy's like, oh, dude, you got a speck of dust in your eye. Let me grab it. And then all of a sudden, his plank in his eye goes, poof, and hits him, you know, because it's something that's so obvious that you're like, why is this guy telling me that I got a speck in his eye and he's got a plank? Doesn't make sense. It's a hypocrite. And God hates that, okay? If hypocrisy is not fixed, it could lead to separation from God. Everybody turn to Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23. Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23. All right, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Here, these people are getting ready to go to heaven. They're like, we did it. We're doing the right thing. We're saying, amen, we're coming to Jesus. But when they get up there, he says, I never knew you. Depart from me. Why is that? It's because they're living a double standard. Because they're saying, they're doing this and that and that, they say for Jesus. But was it really? No. He said, they cast out demons in your name and done many miracles in his name. But it was an authentic relationship. They didn't have what it was that Jesus asked for. He said, I want you. I want you to have a personal relationship with me. That's what he asked for. He didn't ask for you to go out and do this, all this stuff. He said that would come afterwards. But they said, you did many wonderful works in my name, and you have to go. Because it wasn't in my name. It was in yours. They weren't being authentic. They weren't being real, okay? But then why should we be authentic, okay? The next part is because we're new creatures in Christ. When you accept Christ as your personal Savior, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, we are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new, okay? And then if you want to open up to Romans 12, 1 and 2, okay? Most of you probably know this verse already, but it's good to get dirty into the Bible, get our hands dirty a little bit. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. So, if we're new creatures in Christ, how do we become that authentic person? First off, we got to put off. It says to put away those things in our text. It says to put off the old stuff. Okay, we're going to, and if you can come with me for a second, we're going to talk a little bit computers. So if you can come with, do you, any of you guys remember those black and green computers that were like super, super old school back in the day? And then you played Pong. And it's like it never kept score, but you just went, prink, 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 you know? And imagine that you had one of those today. And you're like, hey, come check out my new computer. And they'd be like, dude, come here. Josiah would be like, come check out my new G5. Check this. Let me show you what's up, okay? So he's like, so this person's like, all right, I got to put this stuff away. I need to put this out of here, you know. And that's the same what we do once we realize that what we're living in is the old frame of life. We need to put that off. We need to put off the aspects of the old life that we're still having, okay. And then it says to renew, okay. It says to renew. It's time for an update. It's time for us to update our spiritual computers. We can't keep on living in life the old school way, you know, because when it comes down to it, that stuff is going to be the death of you. When it comes down to it, the old stuff that we're harboring, the lying, the cheating, the stealing, the hypocrisy that we live in, unless we put that off, there's no way we can be renewed in Christ, okay? So we need to renew our mind. We need to update our frame of thinking. We need to put new software into our thinking, okay? We need to start renewing our mind and saying, okay, this is the way I used to do things. How does God want me to do that? How do we do that? We get into the Word. Get into God's Word. You're never going to... I can tell you this stuff all day long, and I hope that you would go out back and study it. But if not, you're just going to take my words. I'm just a dirty vessel. You know, I'm not nobody, but unless you go and make it real in your own life through the Word and through prayer and through supplication, that's when the update is going to take place. It's going to be something new and exciting, and you're going to be like, okay. And then the next thing we do is we put on. It's time to boot up the new G5. You know, it's time to get on there and check it out and say, ooh, what has God got for me? What is God going to do with my life? What is it? Because once we become authentic and we put on Christ, because that's who we put on, Once we put on Christ, the old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. How many of you guys love Christmas? The open up gifts and Christmas gifts. Why is it? It wasn't because most time you already knew what you were going to get. Be honest. I mean, come on. Most of you guys snooped around and found your presents beforehand. Okay? But when you open it up, it's the newness. It's the newness. You get in there, it's like, huh? It's a new Matchbox car. Yes! It's all what I wanted my whole life. You know? Once we put on Christ, it's a whole new adventure. Imagine living in the newness of life throughout all eternity. Sounds like a blast to me. I'll take it. You know? And that's what Christ is asking for us to renew our minds and then not conform to the old way the world had us going and conform to His authentic, true way. Because, once again, I want you to remember, it's either we're hypocrites and we're not holding up to the standard that Christ has for us, or we're authentic believers in Christ and we're living authentic lives. Now, before I get too much further into it, I want you to know that this is one of the hardest messages to give in the whole wide world. This is something where God has been setting in my mind like all the time. It's because I got things to work on. And so don't think for a minute that I'm playing holier than thou up here by any means. I got issues. And we all got issues, I think. And how many of you have read The Voyage of the Dawn Treader? How many of you read that? Yes, only a couple. You guys need to go get that today. Okay. In The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, Aslan, who is the picture of God, is a lion. Okay. And then there's Eustace. Eustace is a little boy who's just a pain in the neck. I mean, the worst pain in the neck. You think Dennis the Menace would come to mind. Different kids like that. No, worse. Far worse. Okay? He was just a pain in the neck. Okay? And so he goes and they go into Narnia. And he finds this cave with this treasure. And so he goes and finds the treasure. But he doesn't want to leave it, so he sleeps with it that night. But the next night, he wakes up. And he's chained to it. And then he realizes that he's a dragon. He had turned into a dragon. Black. All black dragon that's just scales upon scales upon scales. Okay? And so he can't communicate with any of the kids. And so what happens is he tries to do good stuff for him. So that maybe he can be a good dragon. A good dragon's better than a bad dragon, right? No, it's not until, and this is the best part of the story. Oh, it is a beautiful picture, and I wish I could give it to you like C.S. Lewis did. But he goes to the waters and tries to scrape off all the scales. He tries to get off all the dirt and all the sin, because that's what it's picturing. All the sin, get it scratched off. I can do it on my own. I can do it on my own. And nothing comes off. There's more new scales just come up. But it's not until Aslan, who is God in the picture, goes in and he rips off all the scales. He goes right in and he's digging them off and he's ripping it up and just tearing at them. He's just ripping at them. And Eustace says, I can't remember the exact words, but he talks about how it hurt, but it was good. And that's what we need. We need God to come in and rip us off, rip all the scales off, rip all the nastiness off of us. To be truly authentic, we can't be good bad. We have to be good good. Okay? You got to be good good, okay? All right. So, let's move on. How does true authenticity look? Okay, we're going to kind of break down some of the passages. So if you want to open up to there in Ephesians 4, verses 22 through 24. Okay, the way that authenticity shows itself is number one in personal integrity, doing what is right because God has placed that conviction in your heart. Because of the Spirit. Now, I want to make something really clear before we go on too much. At the beginning of this chapter, he's talking to the saints. And we don't know whether it's at Ephesus. He says that it was later that they put in Ephesus as the people they are teaching to. Some people think it's Laodicea. Some people think it's just a kind of letter that got spread around. Anyways, he was talking to the church. He was talking, and he said that we, the church is not this building, okay? And when I'm talking about the church, forget this building, or forget any church building for that matter. He says, the church is the people who are unified because of the Holy Spirit, okay? The Holy Spirit is the one that unifies us all, that makes us a body. It's Christ Jesus, okay? That's the thing that unifies us, okay? So, when I'm talking about the church or the body, he's not just talking about Ephesus or Laodicea or whatever he was talking about. He's talking about us, okay? So, the first thing is personal integrity, okay? In verse 25, it starts out, and it says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood. What's falsehood? Well, anything that's false. It works pretty good. Okay. But let's dig in a little bit deeper and see into our lives how authenticity is different from wearing a mask. Okay. We're supposed to put off falsehood. So what's some of the things we need to put off? Flat out lying. If we're lying about something, then we need a neck up checkup. Then we're not being authentic. That's the easiest way to show somebody is that when I'm lying to you and say, hey, Java, I'm 50 years old. That's a flat out lie. Everybody knows it. Okay. There was a time and I'm not going to go into all the details, but I was working in the shop just lately and I had gotten all my stuff done, but I had not done one thing. So I just figured I would say, hey, I'm just going to say it's done. And he wouldn't even mind. He'll go on his way. Right. And he'll just be like, cool, you know? And so I made up this lie that was, it wasn't the best lie in the world. I mean, it just was kind of see-through. Yeah, you know, everybody knew what was going on. And I was caught. I was caught dead in my traps. And that's because God is good in the first place. And, and it's because I was being a hypocrite. I was being somebody who God doesn't want me to be. And God usually will straighten you up when you're at that type of point. I don't know if you guys have ever experienced that. It happens to me on a regular occasion, okay? Falsehood. White lies. White lies, okay? You know, if I said, hey, Tyrone, I need you to go to the store. He's like, I already went. Well, why didn't you get the stuff I wanted you to get? Oh, well, I went to the store. It was just a while back, like a couple days ago, I went to the store. And I knew you were going to need this, so I kind of remembered, but they didn't have it. And so I'm going to have to ask you, you know, they asked me if I would get to a rain check. And, you know, once by that time, you're like, I don't know about this, man. I don't know what he's talking about, okay? White lies. Like, how was your day? And you say, good. Was it really good, though? I want you guys to think about the little things that we do each day that really are not the truthful manner. That are not being authentic. You know, if we're a body, we can say, you know what? Hey, man, I need prayer. I need some help with this thing. And, you know, no matter what it is. And we can stop and we can pray for you right there. That should be the first thing that we should do. That should be the thing. Is if we believe in an authentic Christian body, we should be able to say, hey, you know what? My day hasn't been good. And why not? The best people in the world would be the people here at church. The people that love you and care about you, not just because you're the boss or whatever, but because we love you, because we're the body. White lies need to be thrown out the door. Then exaggerations, saying, hey, I picked up a fish this big. And you see the picture and it's like this big. We need to put off those things because those are things that are holding us from being truly authentic people. And a truly authentic body. Now, I don't know if any of you guys struggle with this stuff. I'm speaking from what God told me this weekend. So if it doesn't pertain to you, more power to you. Okay. The next part of the verse talks about speaking love to and about one another. For we are members of one another. We are members. Okay. So what does that mean? We recently had a Bible study about that. We encourage one another in love. Okay? We say, hey, how can I help you? You know? Jamie and Chip are some of the best people about this, just saying, hey, how can I help you? I'm not the best. I'll admit it first right hand off. You know, I'm like, dude, I got this. I don't know if I can do that, you know. But what all of us can work on is encouraging the brothers and sisters here to love each other. We need to love each other because, you know what, once this is the world, it's us against the world, really. And we're all we got. This, us here and the body of believers outside of here, it's all we got. We need to be holding each other up. We need to be standing each other up and saying, we need to go. We need to stay on top of things, okay? One of the things that holds us from true authenticity is gossip. Gossip about each other. You know, and I don't know if this ever happens or not, but, you know, we sometimes, I know that we sometimes Christianize it. We say, oh, this person's doing this, and this. I can't believe this. Maybe we should pray for him. Now tell me if this makes sense, okay? We're saying, this person's dumb, this person's that. Yeah, we should pray for him. Tell me if that's not the truest picture of authenticity and hypocrisy ever, okay? We're saying, this person's a dirty dog, he steals, he lies, he cheats, and I can't believe he even does this, okay? And we're not even saying it to the person's face. And then we say, maybe we should pray for him. No, that doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense at all. Okay? We need to be loving on him. We need to go to that person saying, hey, I'm seeing this. I'm seeing that. You know what? Hey, Taylor, you know what? You're a loudmouth sometimes. And I really hope. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know. Oh, and by the way, we have a new state champion in hand. She won state in tennis last night. I just thought I'd give her some props. So, a little authentic brotherhood, you know, type thing. Okay. We need to stop the gossiping. Stop, you know. And what does gossip entail, okay? We shouldn't be trying to talk behind people's back. We shouldn't be trying to Christianize it, saying, we got to pray for them too, you know, while we're doing it. And then, here's one of the things that you can say, if you can tell if a person's really gossiping. The first thing says, hey, have you heard? Then whatever. Hey, have you heard this? And what you know, as Christians, what we should be doing is saying, I haven't heard. Who's the source? Who told you that? Let's go check it out. Let's go talk to him right over. And then most times people are like, no, I don't. I got to go. I really have to use the restroom, you know, whatever. You know, whatever we can do to get out of it. But the source of the matter, when it comes to it, is we say, have you heard this about this? We're like, that should raise up a red flag instantly and say, who's the source? Let's go find out. Let's go get it taken care of. We should stop it. Be the person who stops it, not the person who makes it overflow into the other people's lives and hurt the body of Christ, okay? We need to stop that as a body. We need to be focusing on that, okay? We need to be treating everybody in the household of the faith the same, too. There should be no partiality here. We should all, I mean, yeah, there's people that you get along with better here. Sometimes that's the case. But there should be no partiality. We should be all the body of Christ. Not, hey, there's this group of people here. There's a group of people here and here and here and here. Hey, it's the teen group. You guys go! Woohoo! No. We should be working together as a team. Not saying, and when it comes to ministries, there shouldn't be, hey, the college group's tearing it up, yeah, but the youth group's doing this, you know. And naturally, they got different functions, but we should be lifting each other up, no matter what we can do. The college group can be helping the youth group, and they're already doing that, which is an awesome thing, okay? The adult study could be reaching out to single moms. You know, what if we did, and we think of all the things that we can support each other in different ministries here? Wow. We got a great support group. We have a great, great, great support group, okay? All right. No one person is more important than the other, okay? And that's the idea of a body. Then no one person is more important than the other. And without that person, we wouldn't be as cohesive as a body, okay? And so, no matter who the person is, we need to be reaching out to them. I mean, I don't care if they're ugly, smelly, haven't brushed their teeth in 7 years. I don't care, you know? But as a body, no one person is more important than the other. We're unified. So that puts us at the same level, too. We're unified in the Holy Spirit. So, let's reach out. That's part of being authentic, is reaching out to the other people that need it. Okay? Because if we're on the other side, we're being hypocrites. Let's stay on this side, okay? Okay. Then it talks about dealing with their anger. Be angry. Why would it say be angry? Because anger itself is not the sin. Anger itself isn't the sin. But what is? It's harboring the sin. Acting out on the anger and wanting to brutalize somebody. You know, I hate you. You know, that's where the sin comes in. That's where the sin becomes, where anger becomes a sin. Okay? So, the don'ts as far as anger goes, okay? Don't let it boil. Don't just let it sit. Don't let it sit inside you and, oh, this person. And then it's like one person says, like a cat, and it reminds you of this person, and you're like, woo! And start beating, you know, and acting out on the anger. You know, it's not a, if you let go of the anger, that's why it says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't let it sit. Finish it today. They were very, very, you know, precise. You know, and if it's while the sun's down, finish it before the sun comes up. You know, either way. I mean, if you want to get really technical, you can do it either way. But, don't let your anger turn into grudges, okay? Don't let your anger turn into somebody like, oh, I can't stand this person. I can't stand them. And then your story in your head gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then you're like, that person probably murdered my mother, you know? We blow it up into a thing that's like, then all of a sudden it's like, come back to reality. It's like, wow, it's not really that big, is it? If we deal with the anger now, before the sun goes down, then that takes care of the issue. It takes, and then you know what? Matthew 18:15 is a good verse. I just want to read it real quick. You can feel free to turn there. If not, that's okay. Wow, I breathe in this thing and it's really loud. Sorry. Okay, Matthew 18:15. It says, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. If you go to him and say, hey, here it is, and this is the problem. You know what? TJ, your ears get in my way sometimes, okay? You know, and TJ doesn't got big ears or anything, but... you know, when I'm sitting behind you, your ears get in my way, dude. Could you just, like, pin them back? You know, and there's more important issues than that. And I'm kind of making it light. And, I apologize. It's kind of just my nature. But saying, you know what? You really hurt my feelings when you said this. And I heard about that. And I want to call you on it. I want to ask you about that. And you know what? The Bible's very clear. If you win your brother over, you've got a brother for life. Those things are priceless. As we're a body, if we can go to each other and we're not fear, I feel horrible. I can't believe they said that, but I don't want to go to them. They won't even understand. Try it. That's what I'm asking. Because authenticity comes into play when you do something that you don't really want to do sometimes. And with this person made you upset, but you don't want to confront that. Well, you're letting your anger sit, and that's when it becomes a sin. And that's where the problem needs to be stopped, okay? All right. If you've got an issue, settle it with them. You see a problem, tell the person, not anyone else. That's our problem sometimes. We go and say, dude, I can't believe how this person does this, and it just bugs the crap out of me. Well, let's say something. Let's go talk to him right now. And sure enough, it'll be that thing. It's like, well, I'm kind of hungry. I don't really want to go right now, you know. But if that's something that we can do and say, let's figure out this problem, let's come up with a solution, rather than being more of the problem, huge, okay? Then it goes into financial stewardship. We're not going to try. I'm going to run out of time before anything. But financial stewardship, it says don't steal, okay? And it kind of gives you two different ways, okay? In the literal sense of word, like stealing a car or stealing a candy bar, that's not being truly authentic. That's not being who you should be, okay? You shouldn't be stealing a candy bar saying, hey, yeah, I got a 5-finger discount, baby, you know? No, that shouldn't be how it is. But another thing that some of us have been guilty of is we shouldn't be stealing in the workplace. We shouldn't be stealing in the workplace. You get paid, you should work for it. That's the truth. If you're getting paid and you're not doing the work, stealing. Yeah. It's stealing. If you're going to work and saying, the boss isn't around, I'm going to kick it. No. That's not how the Bible says we should be authentic. But if there's a wage, we should make it. If we get a wage, we should make that wage. You know? And it's a hard thing to do sometimes. Okay? And then it talks about with what you earn, give it away. You can tell the difference between the hypocritical people and the real people is when they start giving money away. They say, I've got some extra money, let's start giving it away. That's authentic Christianity. It talks about helping the widows and the orphans. That's authentic. But when we say, hey, I got some money, maybe I'll do some of this later on, but I got some bills to pay right now and stuff, and I got to do this. One of the first things in financial peace, the Financial Peace University, is say, first, give. Give away some of your money first. And some of you are like, dude, I got bills. Yeah, that's me. I got bills. But when you start giving away something and you're giving some of your hard-earned work away and giving it for God's glory, changes the whole outlook on how your financial stability comes into play. Because we're stewards. We're stewards. We should be giving to the church. Because you know what? The church can't function without us helping out. And we should be given to other people. Lots of people need help. Do you think we're going to leave it to the world to help them? No, it's our job. Jesus gave that to us. It's our job, okay? So we need to be financial stewards, all right? Emotional stability with God. This is one way how we can show the difference between an authentic Christian and a Christian that's being a hypocrite. That's saying, I am a Christian, but living a different life, okay? There's a couple words that it talks about to put away. First off, bitterness. In the Greek, the bitterness actually in this text means hate. To hate somebody. What did Jesus say about if you hate your brother? It's like committing murder. It's like you murdered him already. So, I don't know if you want to be guilty of murder. I don't. That's not for Christians to do. Or anybody to do for that matter, but if we hate somebody in our hearts, we're not being authentic because we've obviously got something inside of us that we need to deal with. Okay? Wrath. Keep control of your anger. Wrath is an outburst. The outburst of anger. Keep control of your anger, okay? Let it not be part of the body here. If you're angry, get it out. Do something about it. Okay? Then clamor. You know what clamor means in the Greek? To cry. Like, to outcry, to be the center of attention. Be like, I don't get to do this, why? That's clamor. How many people you know, not necessarily in the body, but outside, that, you know, always are doing something to try and get the center of attention? Always! I mean, they're going to be yelling over here to be like, hey, look at me! You know, something. Or doing, you know, or they're crying over here and just like, I just don't have any friends and this, you know. But, you know, there's a difference between the authentic part of that and doing that to get attention, okay? If you're doing it for attention, you need to stop. That's what this says. Put a stop to it. There shouldn't be any of that in the body, okay? Then malice. In the Greek, it talks about malice being ill will towards somebody, wanting to actually injure somebody. Now that should never ever get, that's the point of anger that gets to the highest point. When we want to beat up somebody because they did that, you know. And there's extreme cases, you know. I mean, if your sister got killed by a guy, you know, I can imagine malice being there, you know. But I'm not, don't get me wrong, I'm not justifying that by any means. But what I am saying is that that should never be a part of our body if we're being authentic. We need to check ourselves. If any of these things are in here, he says to do away with them. Get rid of them. Okay? And there's a way we can act out according to God. Okay? We can act out. Okay? We can love each other. That's the way to do it in God's way. We can be tender-hearted to each other. That's God's way. You know, and I'm not saying to be a pansy. If there's something wrong, we need to fix it. But he says to love one another and be tender-hearted to each other and forgive one another. We're supposed to forgive each other. Man, if we can't do that inside the body, where can we do it? We can't do it. If we can't do it with the people that we're going to be spending eternity with, why can't we do that now? We need to look inside saying, what are we harboring? What's the things that are keeping me from being a true, authentic Christian? And we all got some of that. I can bet it. I can bet that. And we need to look at it and say, what can we do? You know, that's what authenticity looks like. Okay, we put off the old stuff. Okay, and you know, some of that stuff still lingers sometimes. We got to battle that. We got to renew our mindset. Okay. We got to renew, put in new things according to God. And then we, you know, about how to deal with things. And then we put on Christ and we show that we're living a Christian life. Okay, just some personal applications and we'll be done. Okay, how to be authentic with God. God cannot love you any more than he does right now. His love for you is infinite. Infinite meaning there's no end. And so when if you can think God loves you more, he loves me less infinitely today than tomorrow. It doesn't make sense. God loves you infinitely, okay? So God is waiting for you to come and fess up with some of that stuff that's harboring in your heart. To be authentic with him, it means you've got to come and broken. Be a broken-hearted person saying, God, I am dealing with lustful thoughts. Help me, God. I am dealing with lying. Help me, God. I need your help. And God isn't going to be like, well, it's about time you came. Here's a punishment. You know? No. But God is waiting. You know, if you remember the story of the prodigal son, you'll remember this. When you say, when you come back to God and you get your mind straight with God, what does he do? He's running to you. He's running. And he said, hey, get that lamb, get that big beef. Yeah, that beef over there. Get it cooking. We're going to have fat steaks tonight. Let's get a ring on your finger. Let's do this. Let's do that. He is waiting for you to fess up. He's waiting for you to come clean with him and say, I'm still sinning, God. I need your help. And he's going to be like, I thought you never asked. That's the God we serve, okay? So we need to come up, be up front with God. And you'll experience a love like you've never experienced, okay? 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you all your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Okay? So when you come and say, God, I need your forgiveness, say, done. And then he says, as far as the east is from the west, he throws it. And only God can do that because we can never go as far as, you know, far west that we hit east. You know, only God can do that. But he says, throws it to the bottomless ocean. It's on the ocean floor of that, of a bottomless ocean. Explain that one for me. Wrap your mind around that one for a second, okay? Okay, we need to put off that old stuff. We need to forget that we oftentimes forget that God is ready to forgive us. Let's give him that stuff. Lift that stuff up to him and say, God, this is yours. This is where I struggle. And like I said, he's going to give that, okay? Take some time to spend with God. He wants an authentic relationship with you. Not one that I can come up to you guys and say, I've got a relationship with God. I'm preaching. Yes. You know? But an authentic relationship with God that entails me spending time alone with God. Spending time praying for my fellow believers and the unsaved. And being the true, you know, coming to God and saying, in the private places and, you know, not knowing what to pray, but knowing that the Spirit will intercess for me sometime. You know, that is the truest, most intimate form of authenticity we can get with God. Is coming to and saying, God, I need you. God, I love you. And that's when God really comes and is up front with you and says, I love you too. How many of you need a spiritual hug today? You don't need to raise your hands, trust me. I know we all do at some point in time, so don't worry. So, okay. Next point is, so the first point was just be authentic with God. Those are some applications you can take. Be authentic in relationships, okay? Instead of talking to others about how you were hurt, talk to the person that actually did the hurting, okay? Stop playing around. Stop lollygagging around with other people and be true and say, hey, you know what? You hurt me. You hurt me. Or you know what? This isn't right, what you did to this person. Stand up. Stand up for what's right. Stand up for what's true, okay? You can use, in your relationship, use I feel messages, okay? What I feel messages are, when I come up to you and say, you know, if I had a wife, which I don't, but I do have a girlfriend, which I love her dearly, but, like, if me and her got together and said, you always do this, you always do that, and then, you always do this, and you always do this, and you always do this, and you never do this. That, you know, that's not how a relationship's supposed to work. Or you have friends, it's like, dude, you always bail out on me. Or, you never come to work on time. Yeah, da, 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 da. In our relationships at work. Dude, you always are failing on this. You always are doing this. You're always screwing off, okay? That's the messages that the world hears all the time, okay? What we can use is I feel messages. You can say, you know what? When you don't come home after I've made you a special meal at night, you don't come home on time after I've told you that, it makes me feel like you don't love me. In a work, you know, you say, you know what? When you guys get a secret meeting together about me, about how to deal with me, and you don't include me as part of it, it makes me feel like you don't trust me and you don't want me to be around. I feel messages with people change the outlook. And most of us, you know, for guys, it's like we can either, like, turn it around on them or, you know, be a pouty person or whatever, you know. I don't know what girls do in situations like that. I don't get into that. But, you know, if we started using I feel messages with each other, it would change the outlook of our relationship, okay? Once again, we need to reconcile that relationship afterwards. I think I said it before, and if I didn't, this is the first time then. We need to reconcile those relationships after we deal with them that way. And we need to reconcile with the people that have hurt us. And because you know what? We need each other. We need each other. In an authentic relationship, you can say, I'm sorry, and they'll say, I forgive you, and you can go on. Scars are there. But you can go on, and you can be friends again. Okay? Being authentic in the body. Those are some personal applications. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Push each other to love and good works. We need to push each other. We need to be exhorting each other and saying, you know what? I love you. Let's go do this. Now, I know you don't want to do it, but let's go anyways. We just talked about this in Bible study just a couple weeks ago. You know, college group was talking about, hey, you know what? You're pushing snow. Let's all do it. Let's have fun. Push each other to doing good works. But also pushing each other to love each other. To love. We need sanctification to love sometimes. And the body can help us love each other, okay? We need each other. And if one part of the body is hurting, we should hurt for them as well. we should be reaching out to them as well. We should be looking out for the body because this is all we got. That's authentic love for the people that are in our body. You know what? We might not hang out with them all day, you know, every day throughout the week, but we need the body. And if one of us is hurting, we need to be reaching out to them. We need to be saying, you know what? You're hurting. Let's hurt with you. What can we pray for you about? What can we do to help this out? You know, pregnant moms were good. Well, once they have their baby, at least, it's about making meals and stuff and doing things like that. Let's reach deeper. Let's reach deeper and say, this person's hurting. They're part of my body. And if my thumb isn't working on the body, I can't write. I can't do hardly anything. Can't really grab. You know, if the leg's broken, can't walk. If you're blind in one eye, you can't really see too well out of the other most of the times. We need to be reaching out to the body, okay? Just one poem and then we'll close up. Just about being true and authentic and I kind of want to be our prayer for each other. To really just reach out and say, God, here's what I want. It's called a Psalm of Single-Mindedness. Lord of reality, make me real. Not plastic, synthetic, pretend or phony. An actor playing out his part. Hypocrite. I don't want to keep a prayer list, but to pray. Nor agonize to find your will, but to obey. What I already know, to argue theories of inspiration, but to submit to your word. I don't want to explain the difference between eros and phileos and agape, but to love. I don't want to sing as if I mean it. I want to mean it. I don't want to tell it like it is, but to be it. Like you want it. I don't want to think another needs me, but I need him. Else I'm not complete. I don't want to tell others how to do it, but to do it. To have to be always right, but to admit when I'm wrong. I don't want to be a census taker, nor an involved person, a professional, but a friend. I don't want to be insensitive, but to hurt where other people hurt. Nor to say, I know how you feel, but to say, God knows. And I'll try. If only you'll be patient with me. And meanwhile, I'll be quiet. I don't want to scorn the cliches of others, but to mean everything I say, including this. Let's pray. God, we want to have an authentic relationship with you, God. And Lord, we don't know what that looks like.